Now we're continuing on this morning in our study of Moses, messages on Moses. And I want to come this morning to chapter 32 of Exodus. That's jumping on quite a bit, but I want to remind you just of where we were last week. We were in chapter 17 at a place called Rephidim. And you remember in the first part of the chapter that the children of Israel murmured because there was no water, and Moses smote the rock and forthwith came out water. And then in the second part of the chapter, you remember that Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses told Joshua to go and fight with Amalek, and he and Aaron and Hur would go up onto the hill and pray. And when Moses held up his hands, we find that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, you remember that Amalek prevailed, and Moses' hands were steady, and Joshua prevailed. In chapter 18, we find that Moses listened to the advice of his father-in-law Jethro when it came to the counseling of the people, and that was very wise counsel that Jethro gave to Moses in that chapter. When we come to chapter 19 and 20, we find there that he brings them, God guides them to Sinai and brings the people to Sinai. And you remember in chapter 20 that there we have the Ten Commandments. And in the chapters after that, we have the different laws and ordinances that there were. And then when we come on over into chapter 24, and in verse 3 it says this, "And Moses came and told the people and all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said we will do." Now that's something you should just underline there, because here's these people and they're saying, all that the Lord has said we will do. Sometimes people say things and it's not too long until they forget what they say. But we come to verse 7. And again, the very same, he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said we will do and be obedient. And so we find that they're making this commitment, and the Lord tells Moses to come up onto the mount again, and Moses does so, taking with him Joshua and leaving Aaron and Hur in charge of the people at the bottom of the mountain. And verse 18 of that chapter says, "And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights." So we find here he's up on the mount with God, and he was there 40 days and 40 nights. When you read on in the book of Exodus, you'll find that from chapter 25 right through to chapter 31, here we have the records and the instructions and the regulations that God gave to Moses concerning the tabernacle, concerning the building of the tabernacle, concerning the furnishing of the tabernacle. Everything about the tabernacle is in those chapters, and that's a very interesting portion. You should get a book or a commentary on the tabernacle or a picture or a map of the tabernacle and read these chapters, because we find all the details and all the dimensions of this tabernacle that the children of Israel were going to use for quite a number of years. So we find that in those chapters. Then we come to chapter 32. And as we come to chapter 32, the people are at the bottom of the mountain and they're waiting on Moses to return to them. Having given that little bit of background to the whole thing, chapter 32 begins and it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what is become of him." And I've wrote over that the waywardness of the people. Remember what they said back in chapter 24? Remember what they said? "All that thou sayest to us, we will do." Moses had been on the mountaintop with God for about 6 weeks. And the people became restless. And they became impatient. And they became dissatisfied. When Stephen spoke of them, when he was preaching in the Acts of the Apostles 7, he said their hearts turned back to Egypt. It was only about 3 months since they had come out of Egypt. And God had been good to them. And God had done so much for them. And God had provided and helped them. And yet we find that the people of God, they were quick to forget. They forgot about the goodness and the faithfulness of God. But they did not forget the idols that they had in Egypt. And that's the key to the whole situation. It's quite easy to see that these people were turning away from God, the one who had saved them and who had brought them out of Egypt. It seemed they were not satisfied. They were restless. They were impatient. And my, they were dissatisfied. And as we look across the life of church communities today, there's in so many different places, friends. If we look around the Church of Jesus Christ, there's a restlessness among God's people, a restlessness. There's an impatientness. There's a dissatisfaction. People are restless and they're moving on and they're looking for something else and they're looking for something more. And sometimes when I say to people, "Well, tell me this, you know, what is it you want?" And they look at you, you know, as if you're two heads. The fact of the matter is that many people don't know what they want. And that's the day in which we find ourselves, when these people that God had been faithful to, that God had blessed, very quickly they forgot his people and began to wander. It goes on to say, "Then Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters." So the sons and the daughters wore earrings in those days, "and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it into a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Remember what they said in chapter 24? "All that thou sayest unto us, we will do." You know, friends, this is the waywardness or the weakness of Aaron. This was a time for wisdom. This was a time for wise counsel. That was needed. It was a time for good leadership. But instead of standing up and leading the people in the ways in which God would have wanted him to lead them, away from error, My Aaron immediately conceded to the demands of the people without a word of resistance. My, we see here the weakness of Aaron. My, he didn't want any hassle. He immediately gave in to what the people were requesting. And we see here not only the waywardness of the people and the waywardness of Aaron, but we see the worship of the calf. Because from these golden earrings, a calf was made. And they gave the calf the glory for bringing them out of Egypt. Verse 6 reads, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And what was happening in the camp was nothing short of apostasy. People were worshiping at this golden calf. They were giving it the glory. They were identifying the Lord's name with it. My, there was ritual, which was the ritual of religion. They were going through that ritual, but all the time their heart was far away from God. And yet these are the people who said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. My, people are fickle at times. They forget what they say. They forget about commitments they make. And here's these people, and they're worshiping this golden calf. This golden calf had taken the place of the God of heaven. You know, friends, there's many golden calves today. You know, if something takes first place or preference in your life, and it comes in between you and God, and it takes you away from God and away from your love for God, it's the equivalent of a golden calf. Ma, we live in days when people are worshiping the golden calf of materialism. My, wealth and possessions are put before God. The golden calf of self. We live in the days and the area of number one. Man, look after thyself. People put their self first. We live in a world where self is most important. The golden calf of pleasure and entertainment. My dear friends, this golden calf in the camp of Israel, this man-made thing, this thing that was made by man's hands, my, they worshipped it. They fell down and they worshipped at this man-made thing that had been brought about through their own ideas. You know, it would be just as serious this morning if somebody here or the leaders here said, look, let's take away the Lord's table. We'll not have the Lord's table anymore. We'll not worship the name of Jesus Christ anymore. We'll substitute some other name for him. And on my, that was the degree and the seriousness of the sin that was happening in Israel at this time. And we see the wrath of God as we read on down the passage. My, from verse 7 through to 10, the Lord saw what was going on, and he sent Moses down the mountain to deal with it. And God was ready to pour out his wrath upon this stiff-necked people. God is holy, remember, and God is a jealous God who is not willing to share his glory with another. And we find that Moses pleads and he meditates on behalf of the people from verse 11 through to 14. And we find in verse 11 through to 21, we find here that Moses came down the mountain. And it says here in verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt with great power. And now he begins to deal and to speak to God about the people. And from verse 19 through to 21, we find that Moses came down the mount, and when he heard the singing and saw the dancing, he took the two tables of stone that had been given to him that had the writing of God upon it. And in his anger, he broke them. He broke the tables of stone because of his anger at the sin of the people. You see, friends, Moses got angry because of the sinfulness of the people. Today, you know, Christians are not allowed to get angry. Now, even when sin is committed, if you get angry now, if the pastor gets angry, he's not a spiritual man. If Christians raise their voice against something that is detrimental to the gospel, they're frowned upon. I want to tell you this morning that there's such a thing as righteous indignation. There's times when it's right to be angry. There's times when it's right to speak out and to be angry, even as Moses was here in this passage. And when we come on down, the clock is moving on this morning. When we come down to verse 26, it says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." Moses said this after what he saw. In verse 25 it says, "When Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, 'Who is on the Lord's side?'" And that's a word from the Lord. You know, we're looking at Moses in these Sunday mornings, and we see here the kind of man that Moses was in the context of this situation that we read about this morning in chapter 32. Moses was a man who was out for the glory of God. Moses was a man who was faithful to God. Moses was a man who was ready to stand against those who would dishonor God. Moses was a man who hated sin. That's the kind of man that Moses was. Is that the kind of man I am? Is that the kind of man you are? Is that the kind of woman you are? Do you care enough about the Lord's glory? Are you a man or woman who's out for the glory of God? Are you a man or woman who's faithful to God, who's ready to stand against those who would dishonor God? My dear friends, this was a challenging word from Moses to the people. Who is on the Lord's side? And this is a challenge that needs to go forth today to the people of God today. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "He that is not with me is against me." My dear friends, who is on the Lord's side? And then it says here, "And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." That's the witness of the Levites. You know, Moses challenges them, and all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. There were 12 tribes in Israel, and only one of them came out for the Lord. Only one of them stood out for the Lord. There was only a remnant on the Lord's side. Only a minority who loved the Lord enough and who were prepared to stand up and be counted for him. And the same can be said, sad to say, of the professing church today. It seems that only a small minority are out and out for the glory of the Lord. So the challenge for the child of God as we travel on this journey through the wilderness is, who is on the Lord's side? That's the question. That's the question you and I have to face. I have to answer it. You have to answer it. Who is on the Lord's side? I'm not asking you this morning, are you premillennial or amillennial? I'm not asking you this morning, are you for hots or against them? I'm not asking you this morning, are you for traditional hymns? Are you for more modern hymns? I'm not asking you that. I'm asking you a simple question. Are you out for the glory of God? Are you on the Lord's side? My dear friends, that's the question. Yea. What does it mean to be on the Lord's side? What does it mean? To be on the Lord's side, it means to be separate. All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. They gathered themselves together unto Moses, unto the Lord. The Levites separated themselves from all those that worshipped at this golden calf. They came away from the idol worship. They came away from the nonsense that was being practiced in the camp. They came away from the apostasy that was going on. And they separated themselves unto the man of God. And when you're on the Lord's side, young and old this morning, young Christian and old Christian, when you're on the Lord's side, you'll separate yourself from all that is sinful and all that is wrong. All that is wrong. You might say to me, how do I know what's wrong? Well, if you read the Bible, you'll find out what's wrong. Yes, to be on the Lord's side means to separate. To be on the Lord's side means to stand. When the majority became unfaithful and got away from God, the Levites were prepared to stand alone. It was a lonely place. And sometimes being a Christian, it's a lonely place. It can be a lonely place in the classroom, in the university lecture hall. It can be a lonely place in the office, when you have to stand up for that which is right and righteous against that which is wrong. Dear friends, it's a lonely place. The Levites were prepared to be in the minority. In the minority for what they believed. And you know others did the same. Daniel, he stood alone when they said, you cannot pray to the God of heaven. Elijah stood alone on Mount Carmel when 450 prophets of Baal and 400 other prophets followed after Baal. Elijah stood alone. He was in a minority of one. Brethren and sisters, the majority is not always right, you know. Majority is not always right. Yes, dear friends, many people today, they're not prepared to stand alone. Many people today, you know, they want to be like the rest. They want to be like the rest. I have sat in office bearers meetings and other places. And you know, when it has come to a vote, I've seen people looking to see what way other men are voting. And you'd hardly know whether hands up or down. Hardly know whether they're voting at all or not. They're more interested in what other people are going to do than the issue at hand. I have said in church meetings, when people have sat at the back and they've voted after seeing where the popular opinion of the day is going to be. My dear friends, we need to be prepared to stand when you're on the Lord's side. My dear friends, you stand for your convictions, even whether you're like the Levites here, just in a small minority. To be on the Lord's side means to separate. It means to stand. It means to surrender. In verse 29 here we read, "For Moses said, consider yourselves today to the Lord, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, every man upon his son and upon his brother, that ye may bestow upon you a blessing this day." Consecrate yourselves to the Lord. This tribe, because of the stand they took, they were set apart from that day for the service of the Lord. And because of their faithfulness and standing on the Lord's side and separating themselves from this blasphemous worship of this golden calf, God blessed them and honored them. They became the priestly tribe. And they had the blessing of serving the Lord in the tabernacle. And my God's blessing was upon them. Friends, if you're on the Lord's side, you'll be willing to crown him Lord of your life. To be on the Lord's side means to suffer. The apostles were arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin. And their backs were beaten. And it says they rejoiced in that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. See, friends, to be on the Lord's side means to suffer. It means persecution. It means criticism. It means jealousy. It means attacks from so many different levels. Jesus Christ, my dear friends, he has always been an offense. The name of Christian has always had to suffer. But these men counted it a privilege to suffer for him. To be on the Lord's side means to submit to God, to his will. It says here in verse 28, "And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses." You cannot be on the Lord's side if you're not ready to obey his word and be submissive to his will. Dear friends, the challenge this morning is, who is on the Lord's side? We used to sing that old hymn, "Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King?" Wonder this morning, are you willing to stand with the Levites? You willing to stand with the Levites? They were in a minority. As the others, in their restlessness, in their impatientness, looked for excitement, looked for other things, turned away, went back on their word that they'd made to God, their commitment, worshipped the golden calf. May God bring us this morning to that place where we'll serve him. And if you do, as the Levites did, I believe that God will honor those who honor him and bless them and use them to the glory of his holy name. May God bless his word for Christ's sake today.